Well, I do want to be brief this morning, but in the short time that we're here, I also want to give us something to really get a hold of, something worthwhile to take away with us this morning and to help us through the day. Even if it is just a pithy phrase, really, that we might then repeat and rehearse throughout the day to remind us of the historic event that we're celebrating today. And to help us to do that, I want us to look at this character here in the scriptures who met the baby Jesus. And his name is Simeon. His name is Simeon. And just two things about Simeon this morning. In verse 30, he saw, and in verse 28, he sang. He saw, and he sang. He doesn't actually say he sang in verse 28. He says he praised God, or he blessed God. But many of us take it that he actually sang the words which we read here. And it's just that little phrase which I want to rehearse with you this morning. He saw and he sang. What of you this morning? What do you see in the Christmas story? And does it cause you to sing? He did with Simeon. He saw and he sang. Let me briefly introduce him to you. We're introduced to him by name in verse 25. Now, we don't know the names of everybody, do we, in the Christmas story? We don't know the names of the innkeeper. We don't know the names of the shepherds. And whatever they tell you, we don't know the names of the wise men either, because the Bible doesn't tell us. But here is a man who is named, and his name is Simeon. And that would have been a very common Hebrew name in his day. And we could look in the Old Testament this morning to see how popular the name Simeon was. One of the 12 tribes of Israel is called Simeon. And it means God has heard. That's what Simeon's name means. God has heard. See, in the Old Testament, there was a wife of Jacob called Leah, and she was unloved. And she evidently prayed to the Lord, and the Lord opened her womb, and she named her second son Simeon for this reason, and I quote, "Because the Lord has heard that I'm unloved. The Lord heard her cry, her prayer, and answered her." And it's just possible that Simeon was so named because during his own lifetime, a prayer that he and others offered was answered as God had favour upon him. His name was Simeon. God has heard. We learn very simply three things about his character. First of all, we're told that he's just, which means that he's righteous, which in simple terms today means he's a believer. Simeon was somebody who believed in the living God. God therefore declared Simeon to be righteous. The Bible says that none of us is righteous, but there are a people that God declares to be righteous, just like Simeon. And it wasn't because of Simeon's religion or his good works. It was simply because Simeon trusted God. He believed what God has said. And so his faith was counted to him, credited to him as righteousness. So here is a man who is a believer. The second thing we read about him is that he is devout. That means he was holy. It literally means he was a cautious man. Now that he was a believer, he was careful how he lived. He was careful with what he thought, careful how he spoke. He was a man who was careful to reverence and to worship the living God. Having become a believer, he now lived blamelessly. So first thing is he's a believer, he's just. Secondly, he's devout, he's blameless in the way in which he lives out his faith. And thirdly, we read that he's waiting for something. He's a man who's believed the Old Testament scriptures, believes the promise of God's word, and is therefore eagerly expecting and awaiting God to fulfill the promise of his word. And what Simeon is waiting for, we read, is the consolation of Israel. That's what we've just sung about in hymn 303. Put it simply, he's waiting for the Messiah. Here is a man who is eagerly expecting and awaiting the Messiah whom God has promised throughout the days of the Old Testament. Simeon is a believer who's waiting for the promised king that the Old Testament prophets have spoken about. The Old Testament prophets like Isaiah. Because Simeon believed what God had said and what God had promised. So he's a believer. And he's a good, blameless believer. And because he believes God's word, he's waiting for the Messiah to be born. There's three other things we read about Simeon very briefly in relation to the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. We read that the Holy Spirit was upon him. That means the influence of God the Holy Spirit was on this man. It had brought him to faith and he was controlling his life. The Holy Spirit was upon this man's life, influencing how he lived. But secondly, and very specially, the Holy Spirit had revealed something to Simeon. The Holy Spirit came to Simeon and said, "You won't die until you've seen the Lord's Christ. You are going to see the Messiah, and then you may die." And thirdly, we read on this particular occasion that it's the Holy Spirit who moved Simeon into the temple in Jerusalem. He would have gone into the outside court, and he was moved by the Spirit in that he himself might have a personal encounter with the living Lord Jesus Christ. So here's a man who knows the influence of God on his life. He's come to faith and he's now moved that he might see the Lord Christ before he dies. And so he goes into the temple on the occasion when Mary and Joseph have brought the baby Jesus. And so in that way, Simeon is a Christmas character. Just like the shepherds. He personally meets and sees the baby Jesus. The occasion on which he does that is when Mary's 40 days of purification are completed. We read from verse 21 that after 8 days, Jesus is circumcised. And then, when according to the Old Testament law, a purification offering was made, that's when Mary and Joseph bring Jesus into the temple. And God is co-ing the incident. It's no coincidence, you see, that this takes place. God co-es the incidences so that Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus meet with Simeon. And Simeon takes in his arms the baby Jesus. He takes in his arms the one whose birth had been spoken of for hundreds of years before he was born. He takes in his arms the baby whose birth was announced by angels, both to Joseph and Mary. He takes in his arms the baby Jesus who was born to a virgin in Bethlehem, was wrapped in swaddling cloths, laid in a manger, and had been visited by the shepherds. This very one, Simeon, takes in his arms. And we simply read that he saw, and then he sang. He saw, and then he sang. In verse 30 we read his words addressed to God. He says, "My eyes have seen your salvation." That's the first part this morning. He saw. "My eyes have seen your salvation." And I want to ask you this morning, what have you seen this Christmas? And how have you responded to what you have seen? We've all seen snow, haven't we? For years we've sung, "I'm dreaming of a white Christmas," and when it happens it's more like a nightmare than a dream. We've seen Christmas trees and tinsels and baubles and lights. You may have seen a nativity play at school, a carol concert. You may have seen Christmas crackers with their exceedingly bad jokes on the inside. What have you seen? You've seen wrapping paper and presents. And today you may see a turkey and stuffing and Brussels sprouts. And cake and trifle and family. And if you're watching the television this afternoon, you might see Madagascar and Shrek the Third. You might see Strictly Come Dancing Christmas special. You might even see Poirot this evening. If you asked tomorrow, what have you seen at Christmas, what would you list? My real question is this to you. Have you seen all there is to be seen? Have you seen all that there is to be seen at Christmas? And by seeing, I mean, have you understood? Have you perceived? Have you discovered? Have you spiritually discerned and seen what the Christmas message is all about? In one way, seeing is at the heart of Christmas. The shepherds saw, the wise men saw, Simeon saw. And you this morning have probably seen that at the heart of Christmas is the historic event of a birth. And in some way, your presence here this morning suggests that you recognize the birth of the baby Jesus in Bethlehem has a relevance to Christmas. But still, I wonder if today you will see all that Simeon saw. He took a child in his hands, a unique child, a child who was long promised. Hundreds of years before his birth, he'd been promised by the Old Testament prophets. And here he was arrived, God's faithful to his word and his promise, and here he is in Simeon's arms. But Simeon says that this child who he holds is one who's going to separate. He's going to separate people in the world. This child in his hands, the baby Jesus, meek and mild, is one who's destined to cause the falling and the rising of many. And by that, Simeon is letting us know that there are some who are going to respond in faith to this child. There are some in the world who are going to respond in faith to his claims. They're going to believe upon him. They're going to believe that he truly is who he says he is. And through trusting in him, they're going to be saved from their sins. And they're going to come and know and experience for themselves what the Bible says is everlasting life. To know and enjoy God forever. But this child is going to separate the world because he's also destined to cause the falling of some. Some will respond in unbelief. Some will be indifferent. Some will reject. Some will fall into the despair of everlasting judgment. Here's a child who's going to be opposed. They're going to bring false evidence against him. They're going to plot against him. They're going to slander him. They're going to blaspheme him. They're going to torture him. They're going to abuse him. They're going to crucify him. And the thoughts of all are going to be revealed by this child. And this child reveals the following things about us. You see, our reaction exposes the thoughts or the motives of our hearts. And it reveals that by nature, in our hearts, we're opposed to Jesus. It exposes to us the wickedness of our own hearts, our own self-centeredness, our own self-righteousness, our own self-reliance. The Bible says we've all disobeyed God's word. We've all rejected his authority. We've all rebelled against his rule. But by nature, deep down in our hearts, we scoff and we ridicule at the birth and the crucifixion and the resurrection and the ascension and the reign and the promised return of our Lord Jesus Christ, saying that we won't have this man to reign over us. That's the one that Simeon saw. The one who's going to reveal the thoughts of all of our hearts was going to be opposed and was going to separate. But Simeon sang. When he saw, he sang. He praised God. And I want just to ask you this morning, do you see anything in the Christmas story that causes you to sing a song to God? It's a very good tester to us. Is what I see with the eye of faith this morning, does it cause me to sing a song of praise to God? And if you say, well, no, it doesn't. I find it all boring. I wish you'd shut up. I wish we'd be going home already. I wish the Brussels sprouts were here in the hand now. I find it uninteresting, irrelevant, at best, a sentimental story of sort of riches to rags teaching as an example. That tells you that you haven't seen. That simply tells you that you haven't seen. Because the response of truly seeing is to sing. John the Baptist was in his mother Elizabeth's womb when Mary, the mother of Jesus, came to visit. And the moment she came, what do we read of John the Baptist? What was his response in his mother's womb? He leapt for joy in the womb, we're told. Luke chapter 1, verse 44. His response, supernatural, the Spirit of God was upon him, was to leap in his mother's womb. What was the response of Mary when she truly saw, she believed? She said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God. You see, if you see this morning, you'll rejoice. What was the response of the angels? Well, they went and told the shepherds that here was good news of what? Of great joy. And the angels sang glory to God in the highest. What was their response? They sang. Here's good news, glorious news. If only our eyes are open to see it. What about the shepherds? I mean, they were an ordinary bunch of men just keeping watch over their flocks by night. And the angel came to them and they themselves went to see the baby Jesus. How did they respond? We read they glorified and praised God for all the things they'd heard and seen. The response to seeing all that there is to be seen in the Christmas story is to glorify God, to praise Him in words which are probably songs. You know, we find that in so many of our Christmas carols. They emphasise the singing, which is a response to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. 194. All my heart this night rejoices, as I hear, far and near, sweetest angel voices. Christ is born, their choirs are singing, till the air everywhere, now with joy, is ringing. The response to seeing is to sing. Turn over to 196, just the first line. Angels from the realms of glory, wing your flight o'er all the earth. Ye who sang creation's story, now proclaim Messiah's birth. There's something to be sung here. Because here is the promised Messiah. 198. Verse 4, glad shepherds ran to view the sight, a choir of angels sings, and eastern sages with delight adore this King of Kings. The response to seeing is to sing. 201, verses 1 and 3, we sung it this morning. Christians awake, salute the happy morn, on which the Saviour of the world was born, rise to adore the mystery of love, which hosts of angels chanted from above. When you see, you sing. Verse 3, he spoke and straightway the celestial choir in hymns of joy unknown before conspire. The praises of redeeming love they sang. They saw and they sang. Are you singing in your heart this morning? Hark, the herald angels sing. Glory to the new-born King. 209, 211, 220. They all speak of the response to seeing what's at the heart of Christmas as being a response of singing. And I want to say to you this morning, when you truly see, you will sing. Because when you truly see, God puts a new song in your heart and on your lips, and it's a song of praise to God. And this morning, if you see, you'll sing. Because lastly, you will see what Simeon saw. There in his arms was none other than Almighty God in the flesh. Simeon held in his arms our God contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man. Simeon held in his arms the Saviour. Simeon held in his arms the one who'd come into the world to save his people from their sin. Simeon held in his arms the one who's going to be preached as the only name by which we can be saved, the Lord Jesus Christ. Simeon held in his arms the very one who was his own sacrifice for sin. Here this baby was going to grow up and live a spotless and live a perfect life, and then on the cross he was going to lay down his life as a sacrifice for sin. Simeon saw the Saviour. That's who our Lord Jesus Christ is. When the angel came to Joseph, the angel spoke of Mary, saying, she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Why? For he will save his people from their sins. When Mary saw, she said, "My spirit has rejoiced in God my Saviour." When the angels told the shepherds there was good news of great joy, they say, "Today for us is born in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord." And when this baby grew up and visited the home of Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus knew that salvation had come to his house because the Son of Man had come to seek and to save that which was lost. Simon Peter was to preach, "Whoever calls on the name of this Lord will be saved." Salvation is found in no one else. Christ Jesus came into the world. Why? To save sinners. Here in Simeon's arms was God in the flesh coming to rescue his people. His people who had disobeyed his word. His people who had rejected his authority. His people who had rebelled against his rule. His people who were facing the penalty of death and judgment. Christ Jesus came into the world to save them. In his arms, Simeon held the one who'd come to live a perfect life, in which he obediently met all of God's standards. And Simeon held in his arms the one who is going to offer himself in our place as a perfect sacrifice for our sin. Simeon held in his arms the one who is going to face the wrath of God against sin. Simeon held in his hands the very one who was going to have laid upon him the sins of his people. Simeon held in his hands the very one who was going to be crushed and bruised on Calvary's cross. Simeon held in his hands the one who gave his life a ransom for many. And Simeon knew what he saw. He saw his own sacrifice for sin. So many folks came into the temple courtyard, didn't they, with their animals. And they took their animals and they were put on the altar. And you rested your hand upon them and your sin was transferred to them and they died in your place. Simeon had in his hands one who was going to die in his place. Simeon knew that his sins were going to be lifted off of him and laid to the account of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ was going to lay down his life to pay the price of Simeon's sins, such as Simeon might be forgiven and go at last to heaven, saved by Christ's precious blood. What do you see this morning? There in Simeon's arms is Emmanuel, God with us, the Saviour of the world. And when that truth dawns on you personally, when you see the reality of it, when you see that God so loved you that he sent his one and only Son to pay the price of your sins, when you see that your sins, which you acknowledge, were laid upon him, when you see that your sins were counted against the spotless Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, then you begin to sing. You sing, "My Jesus, my Saviour." You sing, "And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Saviour's blood? Died he for me? Died he for me? He came into the world for me to pay the price of my sins? Then my song is love unknown. My Saviour's love to me, love to the loveless shown that they might lovely be. But who am I that for my sake my Lord should take frail flesh and die?" Have you got a song this morning in your heart? Do you know and convinced that God loved you? God so loves you that he sent his Son into the world, God in the flesh, to pay the price of your sin. What have you seen this Christmas? And how have you responded? If you've seen with the eye of flesh, God, if you've seen with the eye of faith, God in the flesh, your Saviour, coming into the world to save you from your sins, then you'll sing. And you'll go through today saying, I've seen, I'll sing. I've seen, and I'll sing. And I hope that maybe for you today will be the very first day in your life when you truly see and you truly sing. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe upon him would not perish. If we believe not upon him, we shall perish. But if we believe, we shall have everlasting life. And that's something worth singing about.